Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
I love when we talk about our values because we leave challenged. We're encouraged. It helps us to want to be better. And we've been talking about our different values, and our values are really just things that God values. Jesus is our message. People are our heart. Generosity is our privilege. Excellence is our spirit. Servant leadership is our identity. Honor is our calling, and passion is our pursuit. And it's a fitting because I'm really honored right now, and today I get to talk about honor. And as I was studying and preparing, I was just really trying to capture the heart of God as it pertains to honor. What does God think about honor? And as I was reading, just really felt like true honor is something that comes from the heart. Real honor flows from the heart. So I just want to talk to you for the next few moments from this thought. It's a heart thing. Can I pray? God, we thank you so much for your word, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you would just speak, Lord God, so that we can hear, Lord God. Pray that you would challenge us, Lord God, to continue to want to be more like you, God, to continue to do what you have called us to do, Lord. We thank you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. And because I like noise, why don't we just give God a shout of praise one more time. I love it. It's graduation season. Anybody graduated? Come on, let's give it up to all of our graduates. I love graduations. And you're probably like, why? Nobody loves graduations. I don't like graduations necessarily for the length of it or for the programming, really. But I like the feeling of graduations. You know, that feeling of accomplishment, the feeling of hope, the pomp and circumstance. That's the graduation song. Da, 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 da. I love it. It's my favorite. But what I love the most about graduations are the commencement addresses. I love a good commencement address, and I'm not going to any graduations this season. Thank God I get to skip that part. I get to go on YouTube and just watch good commencement speeches. I get to skip the boring stuff. I don't have to watch it. But if anybody's weird like me and you go on YouTube and you watch commencement speeches, you know what I'm talking about. Like, some of my favorite are Steve Jobs, Stanford 2005. Or Oprah Winfrey, Harvard 2013, or Barack Obama, Howard University 2016. Those are some good stuff. And this season is really cool because there's a lot of just notable speakers and different people that are giving these commencement addresses. And the reason why I love them so much, because it's part of a dream that I have. Can I share my dream with you? I have a dream. That sounded good saying that. I have a dream to give a commencement address. I want to give a commencement address at a university. And my dream is really twofold. It really ties into the dream that I have to get an honorary doctorate. See, I want a doctorate degree, but I don't want to, you know, do the things that you have to do to get it. So I've settled, and my goal is just honorary doctorate. And the thing about an honorary doctorate, they usually waive the usual requirements for getting a degree. You know, student loans, studying, time, all that stuff. They waive it and they give it to people who are worthy of honor. And they give it to people who are easy to honor. These universities aren't like digging deep trying to find like things to honor people with. And I believe that God has called us to be people who are easy to honor. He's called us to be honorable. I believe that God has called us to be honorable. He's called us to give honor, and he's called us to appropriately receive honor. And as I was preparing, I've been reading the story of Ruth and Naomi, and as I was reading, I was just like, there's just a lot of honor in this story. And before I read the scriptures, I just want to catch you up from where I'm going to read. The book of Ruth starts with a woman named Naomi. Naomi is married to a man named Elimelech, and they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And during the time, there's a famine in Bethlehem. They live in the region of Judah. There's no food where they are. And so as a family, they decide to get up and move to Moab. And in Moab, during their time there, Naomi loses her husband. He passes away, and her sons marry two women. They marry Ruth and Orpah. And then after some time passes by, she loses both of her sons too. And so Naomi is left in Moab by herself with just her daughters-in-law. And the Bible says that she heard that the Lord had brought grain back to Judah. And so she made a plan and she prepared to go back to Judah with her daughters-in-law. And on her way, the Bible says that Naomi turns to her daughters-in-law and she says, don't come with me. Turn back. Go back to your homes. And I believe somewhere along the journey, Naomi started feeling like, I don't think I want to go back home with remembering the pain that I had in Moab. I don't want evidence of my pain. I've lost so much. Just turn around. And this is where the story picks up in Ruth 1, verse 11. It says, but Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could be your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight, then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord has turned against me. At this, they wept aloud, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. See, Ruth was determined. She says some bold statements. She says, where you go, I go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you die, I'll die. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And I was wondering, what would make Ruth say these words? She had no obligation to Naomi anymore. Naomi said, it's okay, you can leave me. It's fine. Orpah already left. It's okay if you go. Naomi was literally at her lowest moment, but Ruth knew that she was called to honor Naomi, that she was called to Naomi. And that's exactly what being honorable looks like. See, honor means to place value, to add weight to esteem at a high level. But honor is a choice. Honor is not so much about the position of a person, but it's about the position of your heart. See, a committed heart is a heart that honors. And that's tough for us to grasp in our culture sometimes because we like conditional commitment. We like convenient commitment. We like, you know, the 10-day free trial, but I'm going to cancel on the 9th day type of commitment. The other day, I signed up for a subscription. I thought I canceled it. I had a charge for $100 on my card. I said, the devil is a liar. I called my card. I said, this is fraud. I'm kidding. I didn't do that. I just sent them an email, and I said, please take this off. I don't want any part of it. We like commitment to the level of our comfort, but not Ruth. Not Ruth. She truly honored Naomi because she committed in her heart, and she made up in her mind. See, this moves the heart of God. The type of commitment that says, God, you don't even have to do another thing for me. You have already done enough. See, even in her lowest moment of life, Ruth found a way to honor Naomi. And Naomi had nothing to offer her. Naomi didn't say, hey, Ruth, if you come to Bethlehem with me, you're going to find a man. You're going to find your Boaz. The guys are really fine in Bethlehem. I mean, they're going to write stories about you in the Bible. You're going to have your own book. It's going to be real short, just 4 chapters. But you're going to get a book in the Bible. You're going to get legacy. Ruth, if you come with me, it's going to be incredible. She didn't say any of that to her. She actually told her the opposite. She's like, I have nothing for you. I can't give you anything. There is nothing I can give you. But Naomi still looks her in her eyes and she says, your people will be my people. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Your God will be my God. She was committed to honoring her. And I love that she says, your God will be my God, because it just tells me that Naomi, even in her low moments, was honoring God. Naomi lived in a foreign land. In Moab, they worshiped many different gods, but Naomi still honored God. I believe that Naomi was telling Ruth stories about how God was incredible to her people. I bet she told her stories about Abraham and Sarah having kids in their old age, or stories about how the Israelites were in Egypt and God rescued them. I bet she told them about the manna that came from heaven, and or about the cloud by day and the fire by night. There was a way that Naomi must have honored God that made Ruth say something like, "Your God will be my God." See, what Ruth teaches me is that that honor is vocal. That we're vocal with our honor, but honor is also seen in our actions, but most importantly, it flows from our heart. Because we see this with Orpah. She walked the walk and she talked the talk for a little bit, but after a while, what was in her heart led her right back home. And I can't even knock Orpah. It's like she had a home, she had a family, she had people to go back to, but what's the difference between Ruth and Naomi? Ruth knew she was called to honor. And when you're called, it affects all the areas of your life. It changes everything about you when you know that you were called. See, it's the honor doesn't just go one way. I love that we say this in church. We honor up, we honor down, we honor all around. It affects every area. See, God is calling us to be people of honor. I feel like God is just at the edge of his seat, just like, if you only knew what I would release in your life if you honored. If you only knew what I had for you. See, I believe that honor releases favor over our lives. See, honor is an essential key to receive from God. You cannot receive from that which you don't honor. See, your salvation is secure, but what about all that God wants to do with you here on earth? What about all that God wants to unlock in your life? See, let's watch how honor releases favor over Ruth's life. As the story continues, Ruth makes her way to Judah, and she's ready to work. In Ruth 2:2, it says, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.'" And so Ruth heads to the fields and she starts working, and she ends up working on a field of Naomi's relative. His name is Boaz. And this is what Boaz says to Ruth, Ruth 2, verse 8. "So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in the other field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. And I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled.' At this, she bowed down her face and said to the ground, she asked him, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?' Boaz replied, 'I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord,' she says. 'You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have any standing of one of your servants.'" See, Boaz had been told about the way that she honored Naomi. See, when you honor, favor will take notice. I've discovered that the different opportunities in my life have not come because I was gifted or because I was talented. It's come because I decided to honor leadership, because I've decided to honor the process, that I aligned my heart with the house that I said that honor chooses submission over ambition, that I chose to submit. See, it's important to get under leadership. This is something that we've got to understand. It's a foreign concept, but we need to get under leadership. See, I think leadership is a lot like gleaning. So the process of gleaning, they would be in a field, and there would be workers that were harvesting, and as they harvest, things would drop to the ground. And it was Jewish custom that anything that fell to the ground, they would leave it on the ground for those who were in need. And so those who were in need would just glean after the harvesters. They would pick up things after those who harvest. And that's exactly what leadership looks like. That means me getting behind what somebody's doing, and I'm just picking up what they have. I'm picking up after Pastor Rich in D.C. I'm gleaning. And I love this. Boaz had said, he said to the people who worked in the field, I need you to drop some things on purpose for Ruth. Just drop some things on purpose. I believe God's just going to have people drop things on purpose so that you can pick up. See, maybe you're looking for a promotion at work. Maybe you're looking for a way to advance in your career. But have you considered aligning your vision to those who are ahead of you? You may not agree with everything, but have you considered aligning your vision to their vision? See, if you want a promotion, glean. This is why I hang out with married folks and people with kids and people with jobs and people with money. I'm gleaning. I'm trying to pick up after what they got. See, we've got to ask ourselves, see, am I picking up a harvest or am I picking up bad habits? Who are you gleaning after? Are you gleaning after people with bad attitudes? People who are gossiping, people who have nothing good to say. See, you can have all kinds of friends. I'm not knocking the people you hang out with, but who are you gleaning after? What are you picking up? It's really key what we are picking up. You got to check your circle. See, when you honor, favor takes notice. Growing up in a Christian home, we knew we were in trouble when my mom told us to read Ephesians 6. See, Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you would live long on the land. AKA, if you don't honor your father and your mother, they might kill you. And I was a little smart aleck. So I'm like, what about verse 4? Verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children. That never went good for me, I promise. But what is God trying to teach us? See, our fathers and our mothers are the first leaders that we have in our lives. Honor your father and your mother. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, so when he's old, he doesn't depart from it. So therefore, God is trying to teach us honor at a very young age. This is not a new concept. God is not telling you to honor leadership when you finally get a new job, but no, honor leadership from when you're young. It starts when we're young. He's teaching us that we need to honor. And I love that it is the first commandment with a promise. There is a promise attached to your honor. There is a promise attached. And the rest of this chapter, it always messed with me because it says, slaves, obey your masters. Obey them not only to win favor in their eyes, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they're slaves or free. So that means I have to honor everybody. I mean, like everybody, like the person at work that I don't really like. I like everybody at work. Or like your boss that you asked for a raise and doesn't want to give you a raise. Like, I got to honor them. I gotta honor the lady at the drive-thru that doesn't want to give me extra sauce with my nuggets. I gotta honor her too. Like everybody, we're called to honor everybody. It doesn't have anything to do with them, but everything to do with what God has called us to do. Maybe you're in church and you're just like, well, I feel like God is put things in my heart and I want to advance in ministry and I want to do great things. But pouting and complaining and saying that you're not being recognized or no one sees what I'm doing won't get you there. You know what will get you there? Honoring leadership. Honoring the people who are right next to you. Honoring the people that God has entrusted you with. Sometimes we're asking for more, but we don't even do anything with what we have. Have you honored what's around you? See, honor releases favor, but dishonor blocks favor. See, there's a story. Jesus is in his hometown. It's in Mark 4. And he visited his hometown. It says, Jesus said to them, a prophet is without honor except in his own hometown, among his relatives and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. I've read this many times, but I read this and I was like, I've got to make a decision to not walk in this place and not honor God. I've got to make a decision that I don't want to walk into church and not honor God. Like, let this be the last Sunday that I walk in and leave the same. Because if he's in the room, something has to change. Let this be the last time that I serve as if I don't value it or that I don't honor it. Let this be the last time I come to church late. We honor God when we come to church on time. Somebody said amen. I know we live in Miami, but we can get to church on time. We honor God with all of it. See, because I'm tired of walking into church broken and leaving broken. I'm tired of coming in sick and leaving sick. And that has nothing to do with what's happening in church, but everything to do with my heart. It has everything to do with the way that I see how God can move. Because it's not like Jesus wasn't performing miracles. Jesus was performing great miracles, but it was not until he walked into a place that didn't honor him that things didn't move. So people around you could be getting blessed and you miss it because of dishonor. See, I do not want to miss what God has for me because I'm withholding honor. See, honor releases favor over your life. Honor also releases protection. Honor protects your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. When you place value on honor, you protect your heart. See, honor protects you from offense. See, listen, protect yourself at all cost from harboring offense. See, I don't think there's many things that are quite as dangerous as offense. See, offense will change your perspective. It will change your productivity. It will change your attitude. See, there was a season in my life where God just made me forgive everybody for everything. Like, it was annoying at one point because I'm like, well, he hurt me. Why do I have to say sorry? But what God was trying to teach me is like, it has nothing to do with them and everything to do with you. He was changing the default of my heart for offense. Because sometimes our default is offense. But as long as you begin to forgive, as long as you begin to open up your heart, you can't harbor offense. You cannot carry offense and favor at the same time. You can't do it. And I was just thinking, like, who do you have to say sorry to? Even if it was their fault, who do you have to say sorry to release yourself from any offense, to release yourself, to protect your heart? See, when you start getting offended, you start looking at everything through the eyes of offense. Like, you become dismissive. You become unteachable. You won't accept truth because of the source, because you're offended, and you get offended so you no longer honor, and because you no longer honor, you can't receive. See, you have to be committed to honoring leadership, to covering leadership. You have to be committed to honoring those that God has placed around you. And see, also, honor will protect us from negative talk. See, you know, it happens. I've grown up in church, been church all my life, and it's so easy for people to just start gossiping and for people to say, well, this person said this and this person did this wrong and I don't like this about church. And when you begin to honor something, all that stuff stops. Because you wouldn't even want to get caught with any kind of negative thing coming out your mouth. It protects you from anybody saying, well, she told me this. They can't tell you that you said anything that you didn't say. That'll help somebody right there. If you didn't say it, no one can say that you said it. You can protect yourself from this kind of thing. You want to protect yourself from negative thought because the place in the culture that you want to build is not a place of negativity, but of positivity. Whether it's in church or your workplace or your family, you want to make sure that you're protecting your heart at all costs from these things. See, imagine if Ruth carried offense. Imagine if Ruth was just like mad at God, mad at Naomi. She would have never received what God had for her. See, as Ruth was working for Boaz, Naomi tells her, Ruth, I need you to put your best clothes on. I need you to put a really good outfit on, get your hair done, smell good, and I need you to lay on the threshing floor of Boaz. And so the thing about Ruth, she comes from a different culture, a different tradition. She could have been like, Naomi, why don't you go lay on his floor? You gonna tell me to look nice and then lay on somebody's floor? But see, the custom, what they did in Israel was that was a symbolic to her being available to Boaz. And so she did exactly what she was told. She didn't ask any questions. She laid at the threshing floor of Boaz. And when Boaz gets up, he is honored because Ruth chose him. Ruth could have chose anyone else. He says you could have chose anybody younger. You could have chose somebody richer. You could have chose somebody poorer. You could have chose anybody, but you chose me. And Boaz was their guardian redeemer. And what that means is a guardian redeemer would be a close relative that had the opportunity to rescue a family in time of need. And what Boaz did, he did everything in his power to rescue Ruth. They get married, and because of their marriage, it now provided protection for both Ruth and Naomi. Honor released protection over their lives. And in our case, Jesus is our guardian redeemer. See, when we were dead in our sins, when we were messed up, when we were broken, God bought us back. He paid the price for you and I. He is our guardian redeemer. We are now protected and covered by the blood because of Jesus. And that was because Jesus honored his commitment to you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But there was a moment where Jesus is in the garden. He's like, can this cup pass from me? But he made a decision. He made a commitment to you and I. And because of honor, we are protected. We receive protection. Honor releases favor. Honor releases protection. But also honor releases you. See, the only way to receive honor is to be honorable. No one has ever received an honorary doctorate for being selfish. They don't give those out. See, the only people who get these degrees and these honorary degrees is because they have been selfless, because they have contributed to something bigger than themselves. And you have to decide to release you for the glory of God to show up. You have to surrender to something greater than yourself. And for me, I have never been around a more honoring community than the one that's here. The one that I stand in today, from our pastors to our servant leaders, you guys honor people in a way that I have never seen in my life. And that just doesn't happen by default. That happens by design. It happens because you make a commitment to honor. That you make a commitment to people other than yourselves, that it's not just about you, but you have opened up your lives to other people. On February 2nd, it was a day like any other day, and at this point, my memory of that day is kind of foggy, but there are a few things that I do remember. I remember getting on an airplane. I remember being really excited for a 24-hour trip. It was a 24-hour vacation, and I was excited. Me and Mariana were sitting next to each other, and it was so funny because next to us was a girl who knew Nick and Jerry, and I was like, I can't wait to tell Nick and Jerry about this girl that knows them, and she's going on a missions trip, and she's part of a local church. And I remember some of the most random details. I remember we didn't have a pen to fill out our customs form, and we like started stalking people on the plane trying to find a pen. Who would think that finding a pen was so hard? I remember running through the airport. We were so excited. We're like, all right, we're finally here. We're getting there. We were pumped. I remember joking because I wanted my name on the sign that the chauffeur held. I was like, Mariana's name is on it. I want my name on that sign. I remember getting in the car. I remember for a reason that I can't remember, I was like, Mariana, let's put on our seatbelts. I remember us texting our friends, and we're just so excited. We're like, we're on our way. We're coming. They're like, how far are you? We're like an hour away. We'll be there soon. I remember us getting a playlist together. We're like, we got to get some songs. We got to get some tunes for this ride. And I remember dozing off into a sleep. It was a long night. And I remember falling asleep, and the next thing I remember is an impact. And my first thought was like, this is not real. This isn't real. And I must have blacked out for a moment, but I do remember when I came back, somebody was carrying me, putting me on the side of the road, and I remember feeling more pain than I'd ever felt in my life. I remember wondering where Mariana was because they moved me from the car and I was somewhere else, and I remember shouting for her. I remember the comfort that I felt hearing her voice. I remember waiting for the ambulance, feeling like this is forever. I remember getting in the ambulance. I couldn't do anything, but I remember Mariana being more brave than anybody, smarter than anybody I know. And I remember getting to the hospital. I couldn't see anything. But I remember I had some people around me. They're like, honey, it's going to be okay. And some of the last things I remember, just people like Carissa and Fran and telling me that it was okay. And I believe them. I those moments are funny because you think that you'll be more scared than ever, but I bet they were probably really scared. They were. But what I was feeling, I didn't feel that fear. I didn't even know what to feel. And I remember saying, hey, you're going to have surgery and it's going to be okay. And that's about the last I remember from that day. And I remember waking up from what I didn't know was 10 or 11 days later. And I remember it was funny because I didn't know what day it was. Nobody wanted to tell me. And when I finally found out, I said, who won the Super Bowl? How was the halftime show? And the most random questions of things that I felt like I needed to be filled in on. And but I remember that I wasn't by myself. I remember I wasn't alone. I remembered you. I remembered the way that they told me that you guys were praying and how you guys had come together like no other. I remember just being there, and even though I didn't know what life was going to look like anymore, I was committed to not being bitter and committed to not feeling sorry for myself. And I remember Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I remember that I had to make a decision to honor God no matter what my situation looked like. I remember that no matter what it looked like, that I still had to give God praise. I remember the first song that I sang. I could barely even like sing, but if you met my mom, and some of you has, like she prays 24/7, but then like before you pray, you gotta sing three songs. And I'm like, can we just pray? And I remember when they moved me from the ICU, I got a room, and I'm like, I got a room with a view. It was barely a view. But I was just happy to be up there. But I remember singing, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just wanted to tell you that I love you more than anything. And I could barely sing. I sounded just as bad as I did just now. I was like off key. I was like trying to find it. It didn't work out. Sounded worse then. But I remember that song, and I remember just being around family, and I remember that I was committed. I was not going to wait till things got better to honor God. I was not going to wait till things were good to honor God. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. See, what did Christ suffer? He was bruised. He was beaten. He bore our sin and shame, but he honored God. To leave us an example that honor isn't situational, that honor isn't about being perfect. It isn't about the situation being perfect, but honor leads to legacy. See, what you choose to honor will determine your legacy. I love the story of Ruth because she's a Moabite woman. She's not even Hebrew. And Ruth marries Boaz, and Boaz has a son named Obed, and Obed has a son named Jesse, and Jesse David, and David is part of the lineage of Jesus. And we see how the story of Ruth is greater than she is because she committed to honor. What will you leave behind? Will you be known for living a life of honor? And I believe my assignment is to challenge you Will you decide to be who you're called to be? Will you make a choice to honor God? Will you make a choice to honor leadership? Will you make a choice to honor those who are around you? See, I have to make up in my mind. I've decided that I'm going to honor leadership. I've decided I'm going to honor God in my thoughts. I've decided that I'm going to honor God and not gossip. I've decided that I'm going to honor God in my purity. I've decided to honor God with the people he's entrusted me with. I decided that I'm not going to miss God. I have to make a commitment. I have to make a decision. It may not come naturally to me, but I refuse to let God be in a place and I miss him. I refuse to let God be in this room and I miss him because of dishonor. Believe that God truly wants to release so much over our lives if we just understand this concept of honor. Who in your life have you neglected honor from? Where in your lives have you neglected the honor that God deserves? We have to examine our hearts. We have to examine ourselves. It's a heart thing. We might just have to pray that prayer David prayed, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. It may not come naturally, but God, create an entire new heart in me. See, God wants to release so much over our lives. And I believe that we need to begin to posture ourselves, that we need to begin to receive what God has placed over our lives. We've got to make a decision. I'm going to get into the place where I can receive what God has for me. I'm going to get into position where I can release what God has in my life. And I want us to all just stand to our feet. I want us to take a moment just to really begin to think about how we want to honor God, that he is holy, that he is righteous, that he's bigger than our situation. You could have come in here broken. You could have come in here messed up. I don't know what your situation is, but I want to let you know that God is bigger than anything, that God is greater than any situation. He's greater than any hurting. He's greater than any pain that you may feel. And you may think that it's over. It may feel like it's the end, but you serve a God that's been so good. He's been better than good to you.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.